The street is not fashionable, neither is it shabby. It is a pariah among streets, a street without a quarter. It is generally understood to lie outside the pale of the aristocratic Avenue de l'Observatoire. The students of the Montparnasse quarter consider it swell and will have none of it. The Latin quarter, from the Luxembourg, its northern frontier, sneers at its respectability and regards with disfavor the correctly costumed students who haunt it. Few strangers go into it. At times, however, the Latin quarter students use it as a thoroughfare between the Rue de Rennes and the Bullier. But except for that and the weekly afternoon visits of parents and guardians to the convent near the Rue Vavin, the street of Our Lady of the Fields is as quiet as a passy boulevard. Perhaps the most respectable portion lies between the Rue de la Grande Chaumière and the Rue Vavin. At least, this was the conclusion arrived at by the Reverend Joel Byram, as he rambled through it with Hastings in charge. To Hastings, the street looked pleasant in the bright June weather, and he had begun to hope for its selection, when the Reverend Byram shied violently at the cross on the convent opposite. "Jesuits," he muttered. "Well," said Hastings wearily, "I imagine we won't find anything better. You say yourself that vice is triumphant in Paris, and it seems to me that in every street we find Jesuits or something worse." After a moment, he repeated, "Or something worse, which, of course, I would not notice except for your kindness in warning me." Dr. Byram sucked in his lips and looked about him. He was impressed by the evident respectability of the surroundings. Then, frowning at the convent, he took Hastings' arm and shuffled across the street to an iron gateway which bore the number 201 bis, painted in white on a blue ground. Below this was a notice printed in English. 1. For porter, please oppress once. 2. For servant, please oppress twice. 3. For parlor, please oppress thrice. Hastings touched the electric button 3 times, and they were ushered through the garden and into the parlor by a trim maid. The dining room door, just beyond, was open, and from the table in plain view, a stout woman hastily arose and came toward them. Hastings caught a glimpse of a young man with a big head and several snuffy old gentlemen at breakfast. Before the door closed and the stout woman waddled into the room, bringing with her an aroma of coffee and a black poodle.
"It is a plaisir to you receive," she cried. "Monsieur is English, non? Americain? Of course. My pension it is for Americans surtout. Here all speak English, c'est-à-dire the personnel, the servant. Do speak, plus ou moins a little. I am happy to have you comme pensionnaire."
"Madame," began Dr. Byram, but was cut short again.
"Ah, yes, I know. Ah, mon Dieu. You do not speak French, but you have come to learn. My husband does speak French with the pensionnaire. We have at the moment a family American who learn of my husband French."
Here the poodle growled at Dr. Byram and was promptly cuffed by his mistress.
"Veux-tu," she cried with a slap, "veux-tu, oh, le vilain, oh, le vilain."
"Mais, madame," said Hastings, smiling, "il n'a pas l'air très féroce."
The poodle fled, and his mistress cried,
"Ah, the accent charming. He does speak already French like a Parisian young gentleman."
Then Dr. Byram managed to get in a word or two and gathered more or less information with regard to prices.
"It is a pension sérieux. My clientèle is of the best. Indeed, a pension de famille where one is at home."
Then they went upstairs to examine Hastings' future quarters, test the bedsprings, and arrange for the weekly towel allowance. Dr. Byram appeared satisfied. Madame Marotte accompanied them to the door and rang for the maid. But as Hastings stepped out into the gravel walk, his guide and mentor paused a moment and fixed Madame with his watery eyes.